Where were we at? What were we
talking about? Were telling me, wait, no. You were talking about how it's better to be younger when you start learning.
It's better to be younger. It's so much better to be younger. Like Mao Piai Lug, our teacher, started learning it from literally when he was a baby. And by the time he was 16, he made his first voyage. And then he got lost and whatever. And the elders, his father and grandfather, they found him. And then he kept going at it. So by the time we met him, he was in his 40s. He was truly a master, you know. And then he was willing to teach us, which is something that wasn't really okay, you know, in their culture, for him to pass on that kind of knowledge to outsiders. But, you know, he had talked about that, you know, we were really too old and stuff, but we just got to do our best, right? And the best is that we understand it. We can teach it. It's in this knowledge is in the schools now, and they teach it in the schools. And so it's a living, it's part of a living culture. It's moving forward like that, which is really neat. So it's only going to get better, you know. These guys are much better than we were, which is really nice. I like to say that and validate that very fact, you know, that they are much better than we ever were. And so it's really cool.
Yeah, that's great. So yeah. It's working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I want to know about Taumako.
Yeah,
What a fascinating place.
Oh, yeah.
So and fascinating people.
But before, I'm glad to do that off of my dying battery.
Okay.
But before I shut it off, I wonder if there's anything that I didn't ask you that you thought I should ask you. Anything
oh
you wanted
my
to talk
gosh.
About that you thought you
well,
should talk about.
One of the things is that, you know, so one of the things that prompted the building of Hokulea, there are the three individuals that got together, right? Herb Kane, artist and historian, Dr. Ben Finney, who was doing, I think he was doing his doctoral thesis on Polynesian voyaging, and then Tommy Holmes, who was like just a local guy in Hawaii, waterman, loved canoes, you know, wrote a book about called The Hawaiian Canoe, and really adventurous spirit. So these three guys were kind of like on the same wavelength at that time. They were kind of going down that same path regarding voyaging in the Pacific. And so they got together. In 1973, they formed the Polynesian Voyaging Society. And a big part of that, like Ben Finney's thing, was there was a Kiwi in New Zealand, his name was Andrew Sharp, had written a whole book on Polynesian voyaging. And his basic concept was that the Polynesians probably could navigate with a real sense of purpose and skill for 300 miles. So that's like 3 days of sailing, you know. I mean, it took us 11 days to get here, but it takes you like, the fastest voyage from Hawaii to Tahiti has been like 15 days. But 3 days is 3 days, I mean, 300 miles, purposeful sailing, and skilled, and after that you're at the mercy of the wind and the currents. Well, I mean, you knowing what you know, going to Taumako and stuff like that, it's like no way. Those guys are like intelligent, and they're sharp and they're skilled. They ain't going out there for 3 days and then get like wander like aimlessly. They just don't do that. It doesn't work like that. So it was a direct challenge to that very idea. And then also, you know, Thor Heyerdahl in the 50s had done Kon-Tiki. And he stood by Kon-Tiki being like a traditional, factual migration of islanders. Well, fuck, that's rubbish, you know? You don't do a one-way voyage and you go freaking over the falls on the reef at some random place, you know? So when you know in the stories that, you know, like one story is Moikeha. You know, he came up to Hawaii from Tahiti. He got married. Raised his family over on the island of Kauai. In his later years, he wanted to see his Tahitian son, La'a, Maikahiki. So he sends his grandson, Kila, his son Kila, to go down to Tahiti to bring his son Lau Mai Keke back, which he did. He brought Lau Mai Keke back, and then to take him back to Tahiti. And then later on, his grandson, Kaha'i, was also a voyaging chief that took the canoes down south to bring back different strains of breadfruit. So you have this two-way interaction and stuff. You don't have one-way slam dunk on a reef, you know? I mean, Tomako guys, they'll get the biggest kick out of that concept, you know? I mean, the skills that those guys have from Tomako, they're still masters. They still have skills that we don't even know, you know? And and that's why I say, you know, I mean, with whatever skills we do have, we're still like third graders compared to, like, you know, those old masters and you know, what they have to offer as far as teaching and knowledge and stuff. So things are moving along, but so really neat things like that have been happening. But the beauty of it after that is that, you know, we're connected throughout the Pacific, every place we go now. Our family's bigger. You know, in Alaska, like I said, and one of our sailors is from Tahiti. He's one of the captains of the Tahitian canoe. And we sailed from Samoa down to Tonga. We had some Tongan sailors on board, and then we had two captains from Aotearoa, from New Zealand, with us on board. So sharing this knowledge and building this capacity of friendship and close ties has been really awesome, because it helps us, it helps them, and it just helps the whole recovery of, you know, knowledge and culture and all that stuff, which we all believe is like key to us moving along as Native people and stuff like that. So I don't know. That's that. And then, so now the voyaging is in, like I said, it's in the schools, it's in the university system back in Hawaii. University of Hawaii totally, you know, is in total support of what have you. So our home for this canoe, when we get back home in Hawaii, is at a marine education, and they teach boat building skills and other skills there. It's part of the university system. So we've had a partnership with them since 2003.
And you just let me know what you want in there.
And so they're teaching it in high schools, and they're teaching it all over the place. And because there's a lot of value in it educationally. You know, you learn oceanography, you learn the heavens, astronomy, you know, you learn weather, meteorology, and then geography, and just a whole ton of stuff that you, and then, you know, sociology as far as the relationship between the peoples and stuff like that. And it's fascinating. We are people in the Pacific. What a feat, you know, in its own time, of this people building these kind of craft, and then spreading out over this vast, vast ocean, all the way from Madagascar across the Indian Ocean, through Indonesia and the Philippines, through Micronesia, all the way across the Pacific to the Americas.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be pretty phenomenal.
It's phenomenal. So people ask me, the Americas? I go, yeah. So did you know that the genesis of any potato is from South America?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That tells you something about voyage.
So the sweet potato is on every... You call it yams, what are you going to call it? But the genesis of all of those is from South America. And they're on pretty much every island throughout the Pacific, and even up to Okinawa and Japan, you know? And the fact that that's like that is one thing. Then the breadfruit, the genesis of the breadfruit is Indonesia. So the fact that those trees and that fruit is like pretty much on every island is a you know, testament to that, those voyaging canoes and that interaction. And then, you know, there's other plants and things like that that are like that. But, it's real. When you learn more and all the little things, that's like super fascinating. And so it brings credence to the whole idea, the whole concept, understanding that these canoes are on the move. they're here, they're there, and you know, they moved around. You know, just like, it's not much different from where things are done today, but just on a different type of mode.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just, I don't know, it's just mind-boggling. What a body of knowledge, you know, the navigation skills, the ability to traverse across, you know, vast ocean, find your way home, take people back to those islands on like migrations and things like that, and just start the whole new whole population process of those islands.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty powerful.
And all done by canoes. Like by the time Captain Cook in 1778 or whenever he came to Hawaii, you know, they say that they're about, by his estimate, you know, during a census, they had about 800,000 Hawaiians in the islands. But by other estimates, it was closer to 1 million. And that was started by canoe migrations. And, you know, New Zealand, the Maoris have the same, you know, history, right? Like Kupe was like the first navigator. And after Kupe, hundreds of canoes came. You know, so they have hundreds of tribes there, and sub-tribes, tribes and sub-tribes that are related to a canoe that arrived there. So that rich history and understanding, those guys are skilled, man. They were awesome. And so when we look at that and how much was, just how much went to sleep or was lost, you know, in the Pacific. It's just a wonderful time to revisit it. And we're so lucky we're here.
Yeah.
So lucky we're here and able to witness it and be a part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a gift.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was all good, worth capturing.
All right.
So, yeah,